Today, I want to talk about something that helps in the matter of being close to God and walking with Him on a daily basis. And that is living faith. Living faith. But I want to talk about a particular aspect of that. Living faith is required for spiritual growth and salvation in every individual servant of God's life. There's no getting around that. Let's notice Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It's plainly stated how important that is. I went through this chapter one time and I counted how often it says by faith and talking about these spiritual giants and heroes of the past, and I counted 16. There might be more. By faith they did this. By faith he did that. By faith they did the other thing. But notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But you look at the other side of that, that means that with faith, we will please him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We know God exists. We can prove that. We know the Bible is inspired. We can prove that. And we know that God will bless us as we seek him. But faith has to be there. Otherwise, we're simply not going to please God. But if it is there, we are going to please him. But I want to talk about a particular aspect of living faith. Driving home from the feast, my wife and I were having a very interesting discussion about what it means to have relaxed faith. The more I got into that, the more interesting it became. So not only must we have living faith, we want to grow and overcome to the point to where we have relaxed living faith. So how can we develop relaxed faith? How do we do that? How to develop relaxed faith is what we want to cover today. Mr. Armstrong often mentioned this and how he and Mrs. Armstrong had to learn to have relaxed faith and to exercise it. They had to learn that. I want to read a couple of things from the autobiography. This is volume 2. I finished volume 1. Now I'm going through volume 2 and I can hardly put it down. It's so interesting. I don't know how many times I've gone through these two volumes and through this autobiography, but every time I go through them, I just learn more and more. And you will too. And so I recommend you do that. On page 243, it says in page 243, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "During the summer of 1948, I was faced with a frightful situation and a tough decision. Everyone seemed to think I ought to simply give up, close the college down, and try to build back up the broadcasting work. But somehow I knew God wanted neither dropped. I had supreme and abiding faith that he would see us through. True, I had not yet learned to have relaxed faith." See, it takes time to learn that. "I had not yet learned to have relaxed faith. I continued to allow the strain of the situation to punish me. The following year, I was to learn the secret of relaxed faith. But I will come to that in due course." And then he talks about that over here on page 257. Page 257, talking about the year 1950. "Although we had gotten over what I call the first hump by January 1949, the upward climb of this work of God was still tough going. It was not easy. Jesus Christ never promised easy going." Then page 257, "Through 1950, I do not remember any crisis so severe that the very existence of the work hung in the balance. I had at last learned the lesson of relaxed faith. I no longer let the problems we met put me under such an ordeal as I had gone through previously. Now I was able to cast the burdens on the living Christ, meanwhile leaping to action to pray intensively for guidance and to energetically do whatever was in my own power to do, but in a faith that was relaxed and confident, trusting God with the results." He and his wife had learned and come to the point to where they could have relaxed faith. And he covered several aspects of that. And you can read and study that and you will see that. Let's go into it a little deeper now and look into the Bible and see how we can develop and build faith and then go on and mature to where we have relaxed faith. like they did. What are the key steps that lead to relaxed faith? And there are some key steps. Mr. Armstrong called it a secret. You have to dig in deep to find it. Worry-free, confident Christian living, abundant living, always involves faith that is sure and relaxed. This takes time. It takes time. But we can get there. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14 and verse 23. It says, Romans 14, verse 23, breaking into a thought, he that doubts is damned if he eats or is judged, because he eats not of faith. Now notice, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This means that every aspect of a Christian's life must involve faith. Everything we do has got to have an element of faith. And we need to grow to where that element of faith is relaxed. We don't do anything apart from faith. It all involves an element of faith in the equation. It says that right here. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We're doing it on our own instead of through God and his guidance and help and wisdom and the leadership of Jesus Christ. Let's notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. It doesn't say whatsoever is not of worry. It doesn't say that we must walk by worry. It doesn't say that we must live by worry. And that's the way so many people live today, especially when they don't know the truth. And people are getting more and more frightened, and who wouldn't be in this world today? But in God's church, we don't want to be that way. Whatsoever is not of worry, that's not the way God wants us to live. Anxiety, being uptight, pacing back and forth, tossing and turning. We can overcome that. We can get rid of that. We can learn how to live life with relaxed faith. And God will help us. We need to ask him to help us and ask him to show us and ask him to have that kind of faith. But we also can take certain steps that will develop that in addition to asking God for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. For we walk by worry. No, we don't. We walk by anxiety. No. We walk by doubt. No. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by sight. By faith. That's how we walk. And relaxed faith is what we want to grow and have as we go along in our Christian lives. This means everything we do, say, and think must be combined with faith. If we're going to walk by faith, faith is a part of everything we do, say, and think. If whatever we do is not of faith is sin, means we have to have faith involved in everything we do, say, and think. Our faith must be combined with our actions, our thoughts, and our words. Not doubt, not worry, not anxiety. That comes from Satan, not from God. Let's notice Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We saw that verse when we went through the minor prophet of Habakkuk. You can see that he said that over in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. That's why it says here, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is how we live and move and have our being. We live by faith. There's never a time in our lives, never a time in our day, never a time in whatever we do, say, and think, that faith should not be blended in and mixed with it. It always should be blended in and mixed with it. Every Christian's life becomes a life of faith. We have faith in our marriages. We have faith blended in Our faith is in God, but contained within our marriage, contained within our home, in our family, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, is faith. When we drive along the road, when we have fun playing games, when we go to work, whatever we do, if we're really overcoming and growing and becoming more and more yielded to God and more like Jesus Christ, faith is going to be increasing. And that turns everything in the right direction. That's very pleasing to God. But we want to take it one step further and learn to have relaxed faith. That opens up abundant living. Now we have peace. Now we have confidence. Now we live a life each day not based on worry and doubt and anxiety and suspense, but based on confidence and assurance and anticipation and hope and trust. And that's what we want to do, live life like that, and we can. And that's what Mr. Armstrong talks about when he talks about relaxed faith. God honors that. He responds to that. You know, when you read through and see certain things in the Bible mentioned, praying fervently and how God responds to that, faith is something he responds to as well. I can speak as a parent. I really love it when my family has confidence that I will try to do the right thing or that I will be responsible or that I can be depended on. It would really hurt my feelings if my family thought, you can't trust him. You can't depend on him. Well, he doesn't keep his word. He may or may not show up. And that would really profoundly disturb me. Well, think about how God feels as our Father when he sees his church and his children having complete, total, relaxed faith in him. But think about how he would feel if we were running around worried, uptight, upset, doubting, wondering, fearing, full of anxiety. How will this get done? How will that get done? Will this continue? Will this not continue? I've heard Mr. Armstrong more than once talk about how there would be people come up to him almost every day when he started Ambassador College saying, "Well, Herbert, when do you think this thing is going to fold up?" Can you imagine? Here he is trying to carry on with God's work and carry on with what God has called him to do. And most people backed him up. Most people were committed to doing their part in helping him. But occasionally you'd get some ne'er-do-well troublemaker confront him and saying, "Well, it's all going to be over. It's all going to fold up. It's all going to flop. You may as well forget it, Herbert." But he didn't forget it because he was looking to God. He was trusting God. He was waiting on God. He was depending on God, and he had absolute confidence that God would come through, and God did. We look to God, and he says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And it won't. And we can totally depend on that. And we can relax as we do our part and as we look to him to help us do our part. But it's all got to be mixed with faith. Let's notice Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." See, it's not just a matter of having knowledge. It's a matter of having true knowledge that is mixed with faith. Mr. Armstrong often said, "Knowledge is of no value unless applied." Just knowing something is not enough. We've got to know the truth and then put it into practice. And to put it into practice takes faith. So there's the combination. Knowledge mixed with faith is what produces fruit and it's what God blesses. But what about relaxed faith? How can we build that kind of living faith? There are several words that are very similar when you talk about the subject of faith. Faith, belief, trust, works, they're all connected. They're all intertwined. They're more than cousins. They're blood brothers, so to speak. They're welded together. And when they are welded together and put to use as a total combination, as a way of life, the results will always be assurance, confidence, action, and relaxation. I want to read from Mr. Armstrong's 10 Daily Questions. This was in the bulletin, February 14th, 1941. I hope you all have a copy of this. I keep a copy on my desk all the time. Some of you told me you have it on your fridge and other places. Notice what he says here in the 10 Daily Questions list, question number 4 that we should ask ourselves as our day is over. Have I walked by faith, asking God for wisdom and guidance in all things, committing every little problem to Him, trusting Him with it? Not just big problems, but little problems. Now, that's a formula for relaxed faith right there. Asking God for wisdom and guidance in all things. Notice, committing every little problem to Him, trusting Him with it. So you're going to find, as you look into this more, and I hope you will, you're going to find that faith, trust, belief, and works, they all are interconnected. For instance, faith, there's several definitions, but that involves conviction. Notice Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the realization, a better translation, the evidence of things not seen, or conviction, a better translation. It involves conviction, faith does. What about trust? Trust involves reliance. Let's notice Proverbs chapter 3. Wonderful verse, Proverbs chapter 3. And verse 5, Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That means reliance. That's part of relaxed faith, coming to where we rely on Him. We trust Him with all of our heart. Belief. Back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6. It's interesting if you look into this subject of believing and belief, and we should do that, and we will as we go along. There's a lot in the Bible about believing and not believing and unbelieving. It's tied in with obedience and disobedience. Unbelieving leads to disobedience. Believing leads to obedience. It says here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 6, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Disobedience, another translation has it. Unbelief. Belief, however, carries with it obedience. And then works. Let's turn to James chapter 2 and verse 18. James 2 verse 18, God inspired this. Says, yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So part of faith is works. Part of relaxed faith is works. So can you see this equation here, this whole equation? Faith, having conviction that God will do what He says every time. Trust, having reliance and total unwavering confidence, leaning on Him. Belief, believing Him to the point of submission and obedience, no holding back. And works, with His help, we do all we can reasonably do ourselves with His help. If you look at those words and you look at the meaning of those words and you weld them together and tie them together and they overlap, you will see that it all adds up to turning loose. There comes a point that you just simply let go. You turn loose. You settle back. You relax. You look to Him with complete belief and conviction. You rely on Him with complete trust. You believe Him to the point of obeying Him. And you do all that you can possibly do with His help. And sometimes there's nothing you can do, and sometimes there's quite a bit you can do. And you combine that together, and then you can just settle back. You can turn loose. You can relax. It's now all in his loving and capable hands, and he will never let us down. He'll never do it. He will never do it. And so now we can relax and have relaxed faith, not doubt. Relaxed faith as opposed to torturous worry and doubt, wound up right to the last turn like a spring. No, that's not living God's way. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Just look at this. Isn't this wonderful? It says here in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, this is Peter, chief apostle, very dynamic, bold individual, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. That's another thing I've been thinking a lot about, brethren. I'm going to ask God to help all of us in his church begin to have a deeper realization, understanding of how much he loves us and how much Jesus Christ loves us. It's not shallow. It runs deep. Their love for us is unlimited. We're the apple of their eye. We're their chosen servants at this time. That's not something to be pompous about. That's humbling. That doesn't build pride, that builds humility. And along with that choosing comes responsibility. Responsibility to carry on with his work, to not deny his name, as it says in Revelation 3, to keep his word, as it says in Revelation 3, to endure in the truth. And we're doing that with God's help. And that's very pleasing to him. So I hope we can develop a deeper understanding of how much he really cares for us in minute detail on how much he and Jesus Christ love us. You see a happy and close family, and you see parents that don't spoil their children. They discipline their children at the right time in the right way, but they love their children. And you see how they care for them. They have fun with them. They notice when they pronounce a new word, when they have another tooth, when they take a steadier step, when they observe something for the first time, when they laugh, when they ask questions. I can remember very distinctly when I used to come home from work or from a long trip, one of my favorite things to do is to sit down in the living room and wait for all the kids to come run and jump in my lap, and all of them all at the same time start telling me what they'd been doing, how they just learned to play the recorder. Here's a picture they drew. Here's something they did that was funny. Look, I can stand on my hands, and so on and so forth. And then when all of that quieted down, my wife would come in and sit down, and we might have a cup of coffee, and she would start telling me, well, you should have seen what she did today, and you should have heard what he said, and you should see how he made a mistake and saw he did and how he was sorry for it, and so on. That was one of the most wonderful parts of my day, is to hear all of the minute details about what our kids had been doing and saying and where they'd been going and what they did at school and how well they did at school. And then they'd run in and get the recorder and come in and play it, and I'd listen. They'd show me how they could draw something or how they could pronounce certain words. All of you parents know what I'm talking about. That's the way loving parents are. Well, you have to kick it up a number of clicks higher than that to see what godly love is, and then to begin to realize that's how God the Father and Jesus Christ feel about all mankind, really. But especially at this time, those that have been called out of this world and into the church and into his work to carry out his twofold commission and to seek his kingdom and be in the first resurrection. They really care for us. They love us. They're intensely interested in us. They will never leave us or forsake us. They will be with us, and they will respond to humility, respond to obedience, and they will respond to relaxed faith. And that really does initiate and trigger tremendous and wonderful blessings and actions from them. And they'll help us have that faith. So look, it says here, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Put all of your problems and troubles and mistakes and, yes, worries and doubts, put them squarely on his shoulders. He can and will more than handle all of that. He'll take care of it. And so now we can relax. We're doing what we can do, but we put it all on him, and he can take care of it. He's got the power to do it and the desire to do it. He wants to do it, and he will do it. It doesn't matter how difficult it looks. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. It doesn't matter how deep of a box canyon you might find yourself in. You can come out of there, and you can overcome that, and you can get going, because God will help you do it. If we cast all of that on him and keep on doing what we can do with his help, he will take care of it, and he will handle it, and he will help us handle our part of it. Let's notice Matthew chapter 11. Now, as we come to believe that and see that and understand that, can you see how not only do we have faith, now we can just turn loose, we can relax, we can back off and settle down and leave it in his hands. It doesn't mean that we get careless. It doesn't mean that we just block it out. It doesn't mean that we just don't care anymore. No. But we relax. We calm down. We turn loose. Just think about when you relax about something. Have you ever really truly relaxed after doing something really hard? Maybe you've had a really tough, hard, intense day, and you make your way home and you come into your house, and there you are in your little oasis, and you have love, and you have familiar surroundings, and you have protection from the outside world. And now you can take a deep breath. You can kind of push all of that aside that you've been going through today, and you can sit down and take a deep breath and begin to relax. Just turn all that loose, calm down the motor, and switch on some very nice, relaxing times and conversations and music and situations that you can be involved in, such as maybe reading a book or listening to conversation with someone in the family or having a nice glass of wine or having a little something that has just been baked that day, and you just push it all out of the way and you just relax. You turn loose. You loosen the grip it has on you. Your muscles relax. Your heart slows down a little bit. Your breathing is deeper. What a time. What a break. Well, that's what we have to do when it comes to faith. Once we have looked to God, we trust him, we believe him. With his help, we do what we can reasonably do. And we know he's going to do what he says he'll do. We relax. We leave it in his hands. We cast all our cares on him. And we know he's going to handle it, and we no longer are worried, but we have peace of mind. That's all a part of relaxed faith. Let's notice Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on, come here, come to me. I'm your Savior. I'm your high priest. I'm your elder brother. I'm your soon coming King. I'm waiting for you. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why? Because there's no sin involved in it, and he's there helping you with that yoke. So you can relax. You can relax. Let's notice Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be mistreated, persecuted, falsely accused. He knows what it's like to be exhausted, hurting, in pain, lonely. He knows all those things. And we can go to him with it. And he says, I understand. I'll help you with it. Believe me, I'll help you with it. and then we can begin to relax. Let us therefore come boldly, verse 16, under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. See that? To help in time of need. He'll be there. You know, when I was growing up, I thought, well, my dad can take care of anything and everybody. And if there was trouble and he showed up, I just relaxed. It's okay now. Or my big brothers came around the corner. I thought, well, everything's going to be okay now. That's the way we feel when it comes to God and Jesus Christ. I mean, look who we have on our side. Look who we have on our side. We have God the Father and Jesus Christ and the innumerable host of angels. Unlimited power, unlimited love. And as we yield to God and we try to obey Him through Jesus Christ and we believe Him and we do what we can do, you talk about security. We have tremendous security. And we need it because, as you know, we're living in an increasingly terrifying and dangerous world. And it's going to only get worse. My wife and I were talking about this, and I really believe this. I believe as we go along, the thing that's going to keep us going on a day-by-day basis until we finally go to the place of safety is going to have to involve faith, not sight. Oh, I see the food. I see the money. I see the safety. You can't see it when you look. But you don't live by sight. You live by faith. And so on a day-by-day basis, He's going to have to supply our food, our safety, the safety for our family, our security. In our house, we make sure the windows are locked and the doors are locked at night, and we've done all we can do. And then we go to bed and go to sleep. We don't lay there, oh, what was that? Did you hear that? All uptight and scared and wondering what's going to happen through the night. We're careful. We try to make sure we're alert. But once we do our part, we lock the door, doors and windows. We pray about it. We lay down and go to sleep. We relax. We put it in God's hands. If we get ready to travel somewhere, we pray about it. We try to make sure the car is in good shape, good tires. We've chosen a good route, obey the speed limit, and then leave and enjoy the trip. We're in His hands. And so we relax. I think you do that as well. I know at the Feast of Tabernacles, I saw God's flock and I saw faith and love and peace and confidence and relaxation. I didn't see people jittery and jumpy. When I walked up to somebody and said, hello, how are you? They just, oh, jump. I've seen people jumpy like that, though, looking over their shoulder, reading into situations, danger that might not be there. Or sometimes there is danger and they don't even see it. I think in the world today, we ought to understand why people feel that way. Some people ought to feel more that way because of what's going on. But we need to be careful. But in God's church, we have a lot of responsibility. We have a lot of trials. We have a lot of tests. We're going to be persecuted, but we sure do have a lot of blessings too. And one of the biggest blessings we have is our close personal relationship with God, where we can grow and overcome and have relaxed faith that He's always going to be there. And He'll always intervene and deliver and help us very quickly too, when there is a need for that. It says, and find grace to help in time of need. Let's notice Philippians chapter 4. Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong had to learn this, and we're learning it as well. This is one of their favorite verses, and it certainly is a wonderful verse. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and He will in the work and in our own personal lives. Not necessarily all our wants, but He will supply all our needs. There's the promise. And here's a tremendous verse, and I hope we read it often. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Those are some big hands right there. You know, there's this insurance company that says you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, not necessarily, and not so much sometime. But when it comes to the hands of Jesus Christ and the hands of God, yep, we're really in good hands there. The work is in good hands, and the church is in good hands, and you're in good hands. Now, you can jump out of those hands, or you can stay in those hands, yield everything into the hands of God and Jesus Christ, do whatever we can that he gives us the strength and power to do, and then relax. Look whose hands we're in. That's true safety in a very dangerous world. So we can relax, we can rest. Christ is our high tower, our fortress, our shield. We gather under his wings, and we operate from that very secure location. The focal point of this entire crucial principle of relaxed faith is found in the following verses. Here are some of the key verses that kind of crystallizes it all down to the basic focal point of having relaxed faith. We ask God for it. We draw closer and closer to him. And that strengthens our faith and strengthens our trust and reliance. And so we learn to relax more and more. I've seen kids that don't know how to swim, and their parents stand out in a swimming pool in a safe place. And they'll say, come on, jump, jump. And they have no doubt. They just jump. Sometimes they'll just jump in the water and they know their dad or mom will pick them up out of that water. You got to be careful about that. You got to go about that in the right way. But what I'm talking about is if somebody else said jump, they're not going to do it. If there's nobody there, they're not going to do it. But you let their dad or mom get down in that water and say, okay, I'm right here now. You can jump. They'll jump. Why? Because they have relaxed trust in their mom and dad. Well, look how much greater relaxation and trust we have in Almighty God. And the focal point of that faith, that kind of living faith involving relaxed faith, is summed up now in these few verses as we close. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 40 and verse 8. I think this is one of the most important keys to turning loose and having relaxed faith. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 8. David said this, I delight to do your will, O my God. Yea, your law is within my heart. I delight to do your will, not my will. I want what you want. I want your will, not my will. I don't want to be self-willed. But I delight to do your will. Notice Psalms 143. Psalms 143 and verse 10. Psalms 143 and verse 10. Teach me, David said, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the hand of uprightness. Teach me to do your will. This particular point is repeated over here in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Luke 22 and verse 42, we'll begin reading in verse 41. This is Jesus Christ. He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Did you notice? Not my will, Jesus Christ said, but your will be done. In other words, we want what he wants, not what we want. We want what he wants. We surrender to him completely. We do like Paul did and say, yes, Lord, what will you have me do? Now look, brethren, this is the basic fundamental crux of the whole subject. Here's how to grow and have relaxed faith. When we want our way and we want our will, that's going to get in the way of having relaxed faith. See, we pray to God, but we hope he'll do what we want him to do. And we try to work up faith that will push him to do what we want. That's not living faith. That's blind faith. And that's not relaxed faith. But here's how we can have relaxed faith. We want His will. We ask Him. We pray to Him. We know He hears us. And we know He'll do the right thing. He will answer. And it'll be the best thing that could possibly happen. And we want His answer. We want His will to be done, not ours. We want to be where He wants us to be. We want to do what He wants us to do. We want to live where He wants us to live. We want it all to be according to His will. What is it in our lives that we wouldn't give up if we saw that God wants us to give it up? What is it in our lives that we wouldn't do if we saw clearly God wanted us to do that? See, we've got to come to the point to where we know that God only wants what's best for us. And when it comes to every decision and choice we make, and He considers our wishes very, very carefully. But at the bottom line of that is this: but Father, I want Your will to be done, not my will to be done. So you see, we ask God, we trust God, we rely on God, we look to God, we do what we can do, and then we put it in His hands and say, not my will, Your will be done. I'm just going to relax now. I know that You'll do the right thing. And I know that You'll help me to love the right thing and want the right thing, because I want what You want. You want to know how you can turn your life around, and you want to know how you can fundamentally develop a key component of abundant living on a day-by-day basis, which is peace of mind. That's having relaxed faith, walking by relaxed faith, living by relaxed faith. And that comes with a deep, ingrained, indelibly stamped on our character, unmovable attitude of a Father, not my will, but Your will be done. I want Your will to be done. I've done all I can reasonably do. I've talked to You about what I hope happens. But now I'm going to leave it in Your hands. I'm going to cast it on You. I'm going to leave it with You. And I'm going to relax. Your will be done, not mine. What messes all that up is our own stubbornness. What messes all that up is wanting things done our way, being self-willed. That'll skew all of that I just said. But if we will come to the point to where the bottom line is, Father, Your will be done, not mine, that leads to strengthening our faith, and that leads to being able to relax. That's the way it works. And this will make us rich. But there's another kind of riches that I want, and another kind of riches that I want you to have. And if we will follow these guidelines we've gone through today, we're going to have those riches, this kind of riches. Let's turn to James chapter 2. Every one of us are going to be rich, very rich indeed. And it's a good thing. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Rich in faith, it says. And another translation says, to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to them that love Him. That's the kind of riches I want. And that's the kind of riches I want you to have. That's true riches. Rich in faith. What a way to live. What a tremendous, wonderful, abundant way to live. No worries. No apprehensions, no tensions. Oh, sure, there's times when we are excited, when we are pressing and pushing to get it done, yes. But we're never overcome to the point to where now we're just wallowing in worry and doubt. No, because you see, we trust God, we believe God, we rely on God, we obey God. With His help, we do what we can reasonably do. And then we relax. We put it in His hands. We cast it on Him. We wait on Him. And we conclude it with this attitude, not my will, but Your will be done. And that then leads to this. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, relax faith, heirs of the kingdom? Look at that. Heirs of the kingdom, all of us, which He has promised, and He never goes back on His promises, which he has promised to them that love him. Well, that's a potent verse. And that sums up what we've been trying to say. And that draws a line and settles it at the bottom of the equation. Heirs of the kingdom, because we're rich in faith, and he's promised that that will happen to those that love him. And we do love him, so we can depend on that. We can look forward to that. We can be assured of that. And we can be excited about that. But also, now we can just relax, not worry, and have confidence that he'll do what he says he will do. And we leave it with him. And we absolutely mean it as we leave it with him when we say, Father, not my will, but your will be done in everything, every time.